This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
So please put your hands together and let's rise to our feet as I make welcome Pastor Demola Adegbile. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
See, I'm human. When you stand before people and they put their hands together to applaud you, you feel cool, swollen-headed and all of that. I want to solemnly assure you that I'm feeling swollen-headed right now. I'm feeling cool and everything. But you see, I want us to do something for Jesus. I want us to put our hands way above our heads and give it all that you got. I mean, like you are applauding the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are applauding the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. I'm talking about the Bright and Morning Star. I'm talking about the author and the finisher of your faith. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. The one in whom you live, the one in whom you move. Are you tired? Are you tired? Wait a minute. Let me tell you something. You cannot overpraise him. You cannot overappreciate him. So, what are you waiting for? Give it to him. He's Jesus. Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Glory be to his name. Amen and amen. Amen. I'm going to sing a song. I don't know whether you know it. I'll sing it anyway. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, and fill me, oh, Spirit of the We thank you, Lord. Father, we acknowledge that you are God and there is none like you. None can be compared with you. You are the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You are the Almighty. Once you have spoken, twice we have heard. The power belongs to you. You are the one, the only true God, the only wise God, the all-seeing God, and you are our Father. Ha, glory be to your holy name. We have come before you this morning to feed afresh from you. Father, I pray that, Lord, you will visit us today. Amen. Visit us with the power of your word. Amen. Your word says the entrance of your word giveth light and brings understanding to the simple. Father, make your word real to us today. Let your word challenge us. Let it chastise us. Let it encourage us. Let it inspire us. Let it excite us. Amen. Let us take us from where we are to where you want us to be. Amen. Let your name be glorified. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. I want you to put your hands together one more time for Jesus. And thank you very much, choir. God bless you. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Before we go into the word, I have one or two things to say too. Today is very special for me for two or three reasons. Number one reason is because it's today. Amen. Some people cannot really say that because they are not in a position to. I thank God for the gift of life. And I thank God also for allowing today to meet me here. There are no two Salvation Centers, St. Antonio. There is only one Jesus. There's only one Salvation Center, San Antonio. Special place where God lives, where God presides. And I'm standing here to minister to God's people. It's a great privilege for me. And I give glory to God for this. The second reason why today is special for me is what Pastor Koye has spoken about. 19 years ago, I was privileged to be the chairman of the wedding reception. And this is the marriage I've closely monitored since then. And I'm very proud. I'm very proud to be associated with this marriage and with this couple and with this family. The third reason why today is special for me is because my wife is 1 year older today. Now, that is very special for me because it is me that God is blessing by allowing me to live another year with this special woman. See, she gave me opportunity in so many ways to do many firsts. When she turned 50, that was 5 years ago, she gave me the rare opportunity of kissing a 50. I never kissed a 50-year-old woman before. You know something? And she's still doing it. I never kissed a 55-year-old woman before. But she's giving me that opportunity. Amen. And if you permit me, I'm going to do it again. Happy birthday, sweet. Where's Zipri? Lexus. Thank you, Lexus. I call her sweet. Sweet, I love you still. Happy birthday. Thank you, church, for allowing me. I call her sweet. You want a copyright on that? You have to see me first. Pastor, I acknowledge you. I appreciate you. God bless you, sir. And I thank all the ministers in the house. I thank God for the privilege and the opportunity I have to stand here, as I said. And I thank the pastorate too. I thank Pastor Koye. I'm not taking this lightly. I'm not taking it for granted. That we are what we are to one another does not give me a right to this place. It's a privilege to stand here. And I thank you for it. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Now, for some who are still not fully convinced yet, in spite of all that Pastor Koye has said, let me quickly reiterate that I am not an actor. I'm a pastor. Let me also say that I am not an entertainer. I'm a minister. And I'm standing here this morning to minister the word of God to you. I'm going to strongly advise that you don't get distracted by anything you see in the messenger. I rather implore you to concentrate on the message. Amen. Amen. And God will bless you. Amen. And your life will not remain the same again. Amen. In the name of Jesus. When Pastor Koye told me that I was going to be speaking today, I said, praise God. I said, what was it about? And he was talking about a transformed life. Believe me, I have a million and one things to say about this. But of course, there's hardly any opportunity, there's hardly any place where you have the room to say all that you know. So I will say what I can this morning. Amen. And like one joke, I don't know whether Koyo will remember this. One of my friends from the eastern part, I'm not going to mention where from. He said, Doctor, how is it going? I said, well, we will just do what we can and we will leave what we don't can. Amen. Amen. To be transformed. To be transformed simply means to be changed. To be converted. Amen. And that's what quite a number of us resist. Change. And there's nothing as permanent in this life or constant in this life as change. Amen. Romans 12 verse 2, where we are taking our text from, is saying, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed means do not blend. Be different. Stand out. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 42 verse 9 says, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is a book that tells us how to respond to change ahead of time. And I'll tell you presently why you need to change ahead of time. Amen. Amen. You must be transformed. You must be changed. You cannot remain the same way you've always been. Amen. Amen. We humans, we are wired, we are designed for change. It is inanimate objects that cannot change. And you will observe that those are the ones that go obsolete. And some human beings too, who are resistant to change, you'll find that they get easily discarded. Why? Because they cannot change. They are inflexible. They are rigid and they are difficult to change. And God, and even man, has very little use for such people. Are you one of them? If you're going to put a title to what I want to share this morning, I'm going to be talking about transformation. How do you want it? Help me look at somebody around you. Maybe somebody sitting next to you, ask them, how do you want it? Yeah, because you see, my Bible tells me in Proverbs 19, verse 21, it says, many are the desires in the heart of man. Many are the thinking in the heart of man. Many are the calculations. Many are the forecast. Many are the projections in the heart of man. Many are the thinking in the heart of man. He said, but nevertheless means in spite of all the above. Nevertheless means despite. Nevertheless means never the less. The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. What that is saying is, if God is going to change you, he's going to change you. Is that it changes you softly? Remember the song, Killing Me Softly? You know the song? Is that it changes you softly or it changes you the way you want? Amen. Let me quickly say this before I tell you different ways by which you can change. God will help me with time this morning. There are three things about the future that you need to note, and you can write this down if you're writing. Number one about the future is that it's not going to be like the past. It's not going to be like the past. What is going to take you to your destiny from where you are now is going to be far, far different from what took you to where you are now. Ah, yes, you can argue and say, Shebi is the grace of God that brought me to where I am. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your own end of the deal. God's grace is constant. God's mercy is constant. I have no problem with that. Where I have problem is with us.
Amen. Number two thing about the future, that it's not going to be exactly the way we think it's going to be. Many are in for surprises. Many things will shock you. Situations will shock you. Circumstances will shock you. People will shock you. And now, listen to this. Even you will shock you. Because there are some things God is going to bring out of you that you never knew you had inside. So it's going to be a totally different picture. That's the reason why you need to be prepared. Amen. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He sees ahead. He sees what you don't see. He knows what you don't know, even about yourself. And so he begins to orchestrate and begin to, you know, guide you in the way he wants you to be before it takes you to the point where, you know, he's taking you. Are you getting my drift this morning? Number three thing you need to note is that concerning the future, the rate of change will take place faster than you imagine. In other words, things are going to move rapidly. This is the end time. Amen. You know the expression where they say, I ain't got all day. God hasn't got all day to do what he wants to do with you. Amen. So things are going to move very fast. Now, the question is, how do you want it? What is your attitude to change? There is the lobster way. How many of us know the lobster? The lobster is a member of the family of those who live on the water. The lobster is very resistant to change. The lobster covers itself with a protective wall, a hard shell. Amen. Now, when the lobster is growing, the internal growth of the lobster gets to a point whereby breaking the shell is not a matter of choice anymore. It is now the only way to survival. Because it begins to choke in the shell. And so what does it do? It breaks the shell. And when it breaks the shell scatters and the twiggly thing comes out. It's now naked. It's now exposed. It's now vulnerable. It takes time for another shell to develop. While it's waiting for a new shell of protection to come, it's vulnerable. Amen. Do you know that some of us are like that? The shell I'm talking about here represents our habits, our way of life. There are some things we are used to, and we're not ready to change until something painful happens, a painful experience. Something happens and makes us to be forced to change who we think we are. And so we are forced to abandon some old habits, some practices, some relationships have to be redefined, some things have to be reviewed. You have to tweak some things in your life, and it leaves you open. You begin to look to people like who you never were. And they begin to look at you like, what's wrong with Sister Jane? She's not like that before. At that point in time, she's open. She's vulnerable. She has found out that because of that bad experience, she has found that she couldn't continue the way she used to continue. And so she doesn't even know what to believe anymore. So at that point in time, she's not even sure of what habits, what principles to stand on. Are you getting my drift this morning? Until she begins to get sure of herself again. That's how some people change. Some people don't change unless something heavy forces them to change. The second way is the snake way. The snake also resists change But in the way of the snake, the shedding of the skin of the snake is not as dramatic as that of the lobster. The snake waits for, he realizes that he has to change. But, I will. You know how it is. And then one day, maybe one sunny day, when the heat is too much, it slides out of one layer of skin. That's how snakes change their skin. It's a bit more subtle, less dramatic than that of the lobster. But it's changed anyway and keeps on living. Amen. Then there's the human way. The human way happens in such a natural, unnoticeable way that people around don't even know. Look at your skin. Look at the skin on your hand. Look at the skin. The cells in your skin right now are not the cells there 2 years ago. The cells in your skin cannot last more than 1 year. I'm not a doctor. I'm not even a science person. But I picked that somewhere. I'm saying that to tell you that I cannot put my hand on my chest and swear to that, but that's the information I have. Because I know some people are waiting to take me up on that. Praise the Lord. Now, the human way is the one that flows with change. Anytime the stimulus for change comes, you respond. And because you are always responding appropriately and timely too, the changes are not very evident. They are not dramatically evident. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You are taking risks too, but the risks are not so obvious because they are little risks by the day. You come to church today, they tell you, be honest. And you look at that aspect of your life. In what area can I be more honest than I used to be? You begin to make adjustments. Nobody notices, but you know you are changing. Yes. You come another Sunday, they tell you, be loyal. Loyal. Maybe I've not been loyal enough. My place of work and everything. And I begin to work on that area. It doesn't show to people, but you know that you are changing. You understand? That's the human way of change. Now, keep remembering the question I asked this morning. How do you want it? Do you want it the lobster way? Or the snake way? Or the human way? There are other variations. Let me put it this way. Praise the Lord. God speaks all kinds of languages. And I'm not talking about Spanish, English, German, or African. I'm talking about the fact that God can speak the language of abundance. If God speaks the language of abundance for you to draw you to himself, and you're still being stupid, God can speak the language of affliction. Mm-hmm. God knows the language of pain. He knows the grammar of want. You can put want in your life if that is what will attract you or make you listen. Amen. Amen. Why do you think we have hospital ministry? Some people will never listen unless they are in the hospital. Why do you think we have prison ministry? So if you don't hear it the abundance way, you will hear it the sickness way. If you don't hear it the sickness way, you will hear it the very painful way. Can make you lose things, lose people that are dear to you. That's even more painful than you dying yourself. You know, there are some situations where you prefer you to die than for some people around you to die. Amen. How do you want this change? Which way do you prefer? Because God's will be done anyway. Always remember Proverbs 19, verse 21. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. If you are perceptive, that should begin to tell you something. God asking you to change has to do with something. What is it? What is it? Purpose. Purpose. Why would God want to change you from where you are now? He wants to change you so that you'll be properly positioned for what He wants to do with your life. You don't own you. You better know now. The kind of people I really don't like talking to are people who think they own themselves. I own me. I can do what I like with myself. You are very wrong. Amen. If the grammar is allowed, nothing can be wronger. Amen. I'm enjoying myself. Is this how San Antonio is?
Yes.
I'm thinking seriously. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Sweet. Amen. Amen. I'll just give her our own passport. I'll just give her our own passport and tell her to tell them in Jesus' court, my church. I'll be seeing them on the by and by. Praise the Lord. So, how do we do it the human way? Where we started from. Romans 12:2. By the renewing of the mind. On a daily basis. There's a story in Luke. Time will not permit us to look at it very well. But you can just write down Luke 19. Read from verse 1 to 10. It's the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was the tax collector, remember? The guy who was ripping everybody off so that he could be rich and everything. And then there was a day Jesus was in town. And he decided that he needed to see Jesus. We are told that the guy was a short man. And so he had to climb a tree to be able to have a good view of Christ who was coming. Where I'm going is this. That man had one encounter with Jesus. Listen carefully. He had one encounter with Jesus. And the guy went gaga. Zacchaeus took money from people, extorted money from people. What I saw in Zacchaeus' story is the story of a man who changed the lobster way. But it's all right. The lobster way is all right too, as long as it produces change. Because when the shell grows, it's going to be a bigger shell. And the lobster keeps on living and producing. Amen. Zacchaeus was overwhelmed with one encounter with Jesus. He was so overwhelmed that he did things out of turn. When you are found guilty of extorting money from people, what is expected of you according to the law is that you pay the principal, the money that you stole or took, and then pay interest of 1/5 of the principal. But what did Zacchaeus do? He paid 4 times. I mean, that's the lobster way. I mean, he just scattered what is supposed to be and just did something out of the ordinary. But you see, along the line, I'm sure Zacchaeus will adjust and then we'll do the right thing. But the point I want to bring out is this. One encounter with Christ produced a transformed man. Now, come, you and I, we have daily encounters with Him through His Word. Does each encounter produce any change? One encounter Zacchaeus had produced a fantastic change. The story of Zacchaeus changed. Has your story changed significantly enough with your regular encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Now, right now as I speak, is another encounter with Him. We
because I present his word to you. Forget the dramatics. Forget the gymnastics. This is his word. Is it producing anything? Is it making you think at all? Is it making you take another look at yourself? I told you I didn't come to entertain. Is the word challenging you in any way? Is there any area of your life? Or are you still of the opinion that there's nothing to change? Everything is fine with me. Are you still in denial? Amen. The church is kind of quiet. I didn't come to preach a Maserati message. I'm sorry, you know. I mean, you know, receive the key to your Maserati. Receive the key to your Rolls Royce. But if you look very well, within what I'm saying, there are plenty of Maseratis there. Ah, come on, you don't know where God wants. I'm talking about God's purpose for your life. He said, my thoughts, my plans towards you, they are thoughts of good and not of evil. Amen. To bring you to an expected end. So when he tells you change for my purpose to be fulfilled in your life, you think Maserati is not included? You think a villa is, where is the Ikoyi of San Antonio? To be? Dominion. You think a villa in Dominion is not inclusive? What are you talking about? I'm talking about the one of whom it is written in Psalm 24. The earth is his and the fullness thereof. All the gold and all the silver, they belong to him. The cattle on 1,000 hills, they belong to him. So when he's telling you, do my will, and you do his will, you think Maserati is not included? Who are the Maseratis for? They are for his children, but you got to obey him first. You have to be in his will, right in the center of his will. That's the guarantee. Amen. Daily renewal of your mind by the washing of the water of the word. That's how your mind is renewed. That's how your mind is changed on a daily basis. Don't wait for something calamitous. Don't wait for something heavy. Where they will now be taking roster to go and be visiting brother, so and so, sister, so and so. Whose turn it is to go and visit? You are not an object of pity. You are not an object of sympathy and all that nonsense. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, your Lord and your Savior, the one in whom you live, move, and have your being. Amen. You are more than you think you are. It pains God to see the way some of us are living our lives when he has a simple and very clear template for us to live our lives by. Amen. How many minutes do I still have? Have I overshot the time? I have 8 minutes. Now, what can I do in 8 minutes? What can I do in 8 minutes? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord now. If you are going to be an agent of transformation, because that is God's main plan for the world. Okay, 7 minutes. Now, let's look at it this way. Genesis chapter 1. God created the heavens and the earth. Abby? Yes. And then from verse 3 thereabout, he began to issue commands. Right. Let there be light. Oh. Boom. Let there be trees and plants and this and that. Boom. Let there be this and that. Day one. Let there be this. Day two. Until day six. When it got to day six, word of command suddenly changed to word of consultation. Man is different from all that God created. Light be. Boom. Stone. Pew. Forest. Wham. Fishes. Wham. When it comes to human beings, let us make man in our image. Something special is coming.
Something big is coming. This one is not ordinary. And then, what was it? God revealed his plan for man in verse 26, 27, thereabouts. This earth that I've created out of nothing, out of chaos, you know, void and all that, I want to make this place called earth to work. But I need man to do it. Amen. That is what led to the 5-point agenda of God to man. And that's God's mandate for man. The summary of it is, be an agent of transformation. Now, all that I've been saying earlier is to ensure that you are an agent, that God can use you for his program. What did God tell man? Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue the earth. Have dominion. Fruitful, that he said. He said fruitful to Adam. Put yourself in Adam's shoes. You just woke up, boom, and you're an adult with no experience. Adult with no experience, nothing. And the first thing you hear is, be fruitful. And for many of us here, you associate being fruitful with having children. So how does a single man with no woman, no experience, be fruitful? Wow. It is very possible. God is not talking about having children. Fruitfulness is not limited to the fruit of the womb. Wow. Yes. That's the fruit of the brain. Divine ideas. Hallelujah. Vision. As you have children, fruit of the womb, you have brain children too. Where is your own brain child?
Yes.
Agent of transformation. Do you have any idea that has your copyright on it? Is there anything that people can associate with you and say you are the one? Then that means you are not being human, because being human is fulfilling that mandate, that agenda of God. As for multiply, you can only multiply what you have. Because 2 million times zero is zero. Multiply. Plant one parish. One parish will also plant. By so doing, you are multiplying. Amen. I'm just quickly looking at those things. Maybe one day when I have opportunity, I will teach it wherever. Replenish the earth. Again, we associate that with having children. Replenish the earth. You know, fill the ground with children. Fill the place with children. Amen. That's not what God means. What God is saying is, no one has seen God. We can only see when Jesus appeared in John chapter 2. It talks about he came as man and his glory is seen. When you want to fill the earth, you fill the earth with the glory of God. And how do you do that? When people see God at work in your life. You cannot do any of these things I'm talking about unless you have the life of God, unless you allow the word of God to direct you, to light your path. Wait for the best part. The best part is subdue the earth. Am I talking about environmental degradation and destruction? No. I'm talking about taking a piece of the earth and converting it into what you want it to be. Having dominion is what led to what we are seeing now. Pastor Koye took me around and I saw a number of developments happening. New bridges coming up. The road network is getting more and more sophisticated. That's man subduing the earth. They take you to a piece of land, bush, filled with rodents and all kinds of animals. And you come in there, and by your coming in there, it serves as a good notice for all the animals in that place, because you are turning that place into something else that you choose. That means you're having dominion. Amen. Amen. Having dominion, man has conquered space. Each time I'm in an aircraft, I just marvel. I know some of you are so sophisticated, you take it for granted. But man, I mean, when I look at the load me and my wife alone checked in, and I look at other bigger bags that people are checking in, and there are about 500 and something of us on one aircraft, and our load, which is double our weight, everything goes into that aircraft, and the thing takes off, and it stays in the air for like 11 hours. And we are busy there eating, and I want to stretch my legs and go into the restroom. And the thing keeps on going. And you take all of that for granted. It is one of the powerful ways that God demonstrated what he has put in man. God gave us dominion over the air. What of land? What of the land? We have taken control. And then what of the sea? We traverse the waters with all manner of crafts. Submarine, U-boat. You know, we even go a yachting. We have all manner of speedboats. God has put water under our feet. Now, in all of this, because of time, where are you? Where are you in the scheme of things? Where are you subduing? In the quest of man subduing the earth and having dominion, what's your part? What's your role? Amen. All is not lost. All is not lost. In my native language, there's a saying that we have. It's if you discover that you are lost, where to start from is where you are. Amen. Where you are is where to start from. When one of the sons of the prophet lost his axe head, and he went to the man of God to say, "Alas, master, the axe head is missing and it's even borrowed." What did the man of God say? He said, "Take me to the point where it dropped in the water. Where did you miss it? If you can look at that," and that's you're only talking about being sincere with yourself. You're not to come and confess to the preacher. You're not even asked to come and confess to the pastor. Confess to yourself and to your God. And decide today that I'm going to yield myself to whatever program God has for me. That's how to be a transformed man. A transformed man wants to do everything right, like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus just wanted to get it right. Whether he was doing it correctly, whether he was getting his percentages right or not. He just wanted to do it right. Do you want to do it right? Amen. Amen. Finally, before I get out of your face, the church is one of the tools that God has put on ground to help to produce transformed lives. Amen. The only problem is this, Pastor, listen. Some people come to church as a tourist. You can come to church as a tourist. Let's go and see what they are doing there. Yeah. Some are in church on Sunday morning because it is the thing to do to be religiously correct. Wow. I mean, they bear a Christian name. Maybe Christopher or Jacob like me. And where do you find Jacobs on Sunday mornings? In church. In church. That's the only reason why they are there.
Wow.
Some are there because Mrs. will not let them rest. You're not going to church again today. You're not going to church again. Are you just, okay, all right, sorry, let's go. So they can have peace. It's a sacrifice too. it's just a stupid sacrifice, that's all. Now, some come as a tourist. A tourist, you know, goes to a place for sightseeing,
wow,
to add to, well, maybe to be able to say, well, I've been to so place, and maybe satisfy some curiosity, you know, and that's more or less it. You can either come to church as a tourist, or you can come to church as a pilgrim. A pilgrim goes to a place, the same place that the tourist went to. And you are going there with the mind that something in that place and something in my spirit must connect today. I'm not leaving that place the same way I'm going now. They've been saying it. I may not really have experienced it as they are saying it. They say God is there. I want to connect with that God today. I really don't know how to go about it. But at least let me take the first step. Let me go. Zacchaeus didn't know what he was going to say to Jesus. But he knew he wanted to see Jesus. Amen. So positioning matters a lot. Just position yourself properly and let him take care of the rest. And when I say positioning, I'm going beyond coming to church only this morning. I'm talking about positioning yourself in your heart. Do you want him in your heart? Do you want him to make a difference to you? I want every head bowed, please, if you don't mind. Every eye closed. There are some people here this morning. You came as a tourist. I want to beg you, change your status. Change your status. God can switch languages. Don't wait for him to switch languages before you heed his call. Are you going to change? Are you going to receive the demand for change? Or you are going to be first? Because God understands the language of force. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, please, if you are here this morning and you think it's time you took a step, you want to review the way you have been relating with your Maker. You have not positioned yourself well enough to be able to receive the daily instructions that produces change in a life. You come to church, okay, everything about your Christianity is select convenient for you. Everything about your Christianity is selective. If you are here this morning, it's you that I want to come and meet me here. I want to assure you that this is nothing to be ashamed about. We are only talking here this morning about you making it right with your Maker. This is not for show. This is for your soul. Are you here? Are you coming? Nobody should be ashamed of making it right with his Maker. Are you coming? Yeah, I've been coming to church, but I know that I'm not really as I should be. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. There are more. There are more. Can I have somebody in the choir give me this song? I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship. Please, if you are out there, if you are coming, please come. People,
I love you.
I want to make it right with God.
I love you.
I want to be more yielding to him. Remember, he said, his will be done eventually. And it has to do with his purpose, what he wants to make of your life. The earlier you yield yourself to him and allow him to direct, the better for you. How many believers are here? I believe we are all believers here. Amen. Now, my Bible tells me this. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. And part of what he said will happen is that he said they shall cast out demons. He said they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. You are going to lay your hands on your own head right now. Everything that is resisting change in your life, you are going to talk to them. They have ears. They have ears. They can listen, particularly the word of God. If dead bones can hear the word of God, demons hear the voice of God. You foul spirit in my life that is making me to resist the word of God. You foul spirit that is making it difficult for me to accept the word of God. I come against you this day by the power and authority in the name of Jesus. I cast you out today in the name of Jesus. I sever all kinds of connections with you. I said, I have no business with you anymore. In the name of Jesus. Say this to yourself. Pray, pray, pray. They will obey you because you are a child of God. By the power and authority in the name of Jesus, I set you free from every resistance. Everything that is making you to resist the word of God. Be free today in the mighty name of Jesus. By the power and authority in the name. Spirit in you. Not right now. In the mighty name of
you, Lord, and I lift my hands to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice. Take all.
I want us to rise to our feet. There are some things that will not be unless some things become first. There are some purposes that will not be fulfilled. There are some destinies that will not be fulfilled unless certain people arrive at certain positions, spiritually speaking. And that's the essence of all we are saying this morning. God is trying to change you to be who he wants you to be so that you can do what he wants to do in your life. We are going to pray and tell God, say, Lord, change me.
Change me.
Change me to be suitable for your purpose. Yeah, yeah. The essence of change, God is not changing you. He's not looking for change in your life for the sake of change. It's for a purpose. Father, change me for the fulfillment of your purpose in my life. In the name of Jesus. Change me, O Lord. For your purpose. In the name of Jesus. You're also going to pray and say, Father, let your word do it. Not affliction. Not pain. Not sickness. Not disease. Father, let your word. Let your word produce that change in me. Let it be by your word. Not by sickness. Not by the death of a loved one. Not by something painful. Let it be by your word, oh God. Ah, shit. In Jesus' name, we pray. Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you are led by the Holy Spirit, you can't go wrong. Amen. If only you will yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. That's why you are going to pray and say, Father, fill me anew with your Holy Spirit, that I might be led always by him. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. Before I go to sit down, I have a word for somebody here. Some are manifesting lack of readiness for new things God wants to do. They are resisting the new things that God wants to do in their lives. God said, I should tell you, hurry up. Hurry up and do right. Open yourself up and let him have his way in your life. Hurry up. Change your mind. The Lord said, I should say this. He said, he sometimes replaces unwilling people. People that are finding it difficult to bend, to change. He said he can replace them. And as I speak, I remember King Saul. He was replaced. What God said originally was that he will be the first king and his lineage will continue to be king forever. That was what God said. But God changed his mind. You need to know that God can change his mind. He's sovereign. Amen. I'm standing here as the servant of the living God. And I pray for you. You will not be replaced.
Amen.
You will not be replaced.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will not turn his back on you.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
God said, unteachable people. People who cannot change. People who cannot adapt. People who cannot adjust. They cannot learn anything. They cannot break new grounds. They stagnate and they die off. That will not be your portion.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
The power of the word of God to change lives, to renew minds. The word of God will not be powerless in your life.
Amen.
It will not be powerless in your own situation.
Amen.
The word of God produces life. There was a woman who was bent over for 18 years. We saw that in Luke. I can't remember. What made the difference was the word of God, was the word that Jesus spoke to her. He told her something she didn't realize. He said, woman, thou art healed. She didn't know she was healed before. Is the word.
The word heals. The word heals. The word cleanses. The word empowers. The word leads. If only you will yield yourself to the word, your life will not remain the same again.
Amen.
I speak into your life this morning. You will fulfill destiny.
Amen.
You will fulfill purpose.
Amen.
God will not be frustrated because of you.
Amen.
It is well with you.
Amen.
It is well with all that is yours.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will continually be glorified.
Amen.
In your life.
Amen.
By your testimony.
Amen.
By your story.
Amen.
By thank you, Jesus. God will be glorified in all that is yours. In the name of Jesus. Get ready. Something greater is coming. That's why God is particular about you. Not rely on old methods. What is going to take you? Remember the second point I said among the three things about the future. What is going to take you to your destiny? It's not exactly what brought you to where you are now. The destination is the same. Righteousness before God. But methods can change. And God is sovereign. He can choose whichever way he chooses. You will not fail.
Amen.
You will not fail God.
Amen.
You will not frustrate God.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Good morning.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.